Okay. I was at the front gates of the VCA, and I knew I had a studio upstairs in the drawing department. So that's what I did. I went to that door on the left and headed up those two flights of stairs, sort of. And then I got to the top, and then I sort of worked my way through the maze of studios for a little bit, because mine was sort of way off in the back corner. And along the way, I had a chat with Janine Eden. I can't remember what we talked about, but we talked for a little bit. So then, after I finished talking with Janine Eden, I kept on walking, and then I finally got to my studio, which was in the drawing department. I don't know why it was in the drawing department, but it was. And I had my bag with me and a whole bunch of papers and all sorts of bits and pieces, and I knew I had to do a lot of work. This was quite early in the morning, and nobody was in their studios yet or anything. And I put it all on the table, all these papers and stuff, and I start writing and working. And this thing of this essay or the work that I was doing or whatever it really was, it was a collaborative work that I was doing with Charlie Sheen.
And Charlie, as in the real Charlie Sheen,
the real
American
Charlie Sheen
guy
from Two and a Half Men,
the Warlock.
Yeah, the Warlock.
That's what he calls himself.
Okay. Yep. So Charlie Sheen, eventually comes in, and he sits next to me, and he's, you know, he says, "How's everything going?" And I'm really grumpy because we've been working on this thing for a while, and he hasn't done anything.
Oh, I hate that.
And I've done so much work, and he's been really annoying the whole time as well.
I hope Charlie's not mean. Don't feel like that about me.
And so I'm, you know, if so, we're sitting at the desk or whatever, and I'm sitting trying to do the work, and he's over there, and he's sort of like in a party sort of outfit. Like he's not interested in working at all, just very relaxed. And so we're both sitting there, and I'm trying to do this work, and he just keeps, you know, saying really annoying things and distracting me, and and I'm getting really mad by this stage because I knew it had to be basically in this day. That's why I got there so early. So this happened for a little while, but then at some point he says, "Oh, we have to go." And I go, what for? And he goes, "Oh, the child rearing competition." And this, it's focused on breastfeeding.
Was Elvira there?
No.
Oh.
No.
She should have been.
But for some reason I thought I was in for a good chance. And when I looked down at my chest, I had these enormous, huge, round breasts that came out to about here. And that was the end of the dream.
Did you win?
No, we never got there.
That's a really funny dream.
Okay. And what did I get? Sex on a beach! Yeah, that's interesting.
From the movie last night.
Oh, yeah.
And then I almost didn't put it in because I thought it was too obvious because we'd just been watching the movie, so I scrambled it up. But then I thought, no, I will put it in.
You will put it in. Well, I did have enormously huge round breasts. A bit like a porn star, probably.
And you were Charlie Sheen, who goes out with two porn stars.
Yes, and has many ex-wives and all the rest that goes along with it. Okay. Well, there's certainly some connections there.
Maybe.
I think. Certainly some connections there. Nice.
Okay. I'm staying in a hotel. It's huge. And my rooms are an amazing and beautiful, like, palatial. The lounge room has a kitchen off it, but the lounge room would be like as big as the Fortuny salon was. That's not as nice, more like a museum, like a palace. Okay. I know the hotel is down the coast from Melbourne, maybe in Frankston. There's a band playing in the hotel, and they're from New York, and they've just arrived in town, and for some reason I sort of know some of them. And they decide they need to store a whole lot of their equipment in my kitchen. So like all the cases for all the instruments and stuff, and they keep coming in and out. Heaps of people keep walking through my hotel room, and like tour groups, and all these old ladies keep turning up and just want to look at the furniture and stuff. And I get really cross, so I call up reception. I and I'm on the phone, and I say, look, there's all these people just turning up and walking through my apartment, and it's really annoying me. And they said, you knew how old the hotel was when you booked it, mm-hmm. and I shouldn't make a fuss as it would scare the tourists off.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, but I'm a paying customer, and I'm going to write a really dreadful review on TripAdvisor. I bet you get rid of all these people now.
Yeah.
And so, and then I blow a really loud raspberry into the phone and hang up. So I go out and I ask all these old ladies to leave. I'm saying, look, it's not your fault. I know you didn't know this, but this is actually my hotel room. And they all start to go. Scott's also here at some stage, and we keep drinking a lot of alcohol. And at one point I steal a glass, someone else's glass, and I drink it. And it's only Coca-Cola, and I'm really disappointed, but I apologise to the person profusely, and it's the girl that works in the crap shop across the road. She's like, oh, don't worry, I've got more.
The supermarket type thing, 24-hour type thing.
Yeah, the quite young girl that's there all the time.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but she's kind of like, yeah, whatever, I've got plenty of Coca-Cola. She's anyway, so all the old ladies go, but the band's still there, and there's shit, like instrument cases everywhere. And then the dream suddenly switches to Eric, who's the blonde vampire from True Blood.
Yeah. He's looking getting up. Worried there was no True Blood references in this.
Soon. And he's looking after a small child that glows, has this incredible inner glow.
Mm.
But somehow it's lost. But then Marnie, who's the witch from True Blood, finds it and she says, I always knew where you were. But then the small child says, but how did you find me now that I'm a rabbit? And she said, it's okay, as long as you don't mind being a rabbit and being lost in the desert and wilderness forever.
Mm.
Then they hug. Then the orange juice lady woke me up.
Mm.
The end.
Okay.
What did I get? A cigarette! You have one of my cigarettes all the time.
I found it in my drawer.
Maybe a lighter rolled it and hid it in there.
That's what I thought.
Because she did smoke a few of my cigarettes that night when I set up.
Yeah, so I don't know whose it belongs to, but it was in my drawer. I doubt that you put it in the drawer.
No, I didn't put it in the drawer.
I don't remember putting it in the drawer.
I think Alana might have put it in the drawer.
Because
She maybe thought, oh, maybe I'll have one after Veronica's gone because it'd be nice to have a cigarette.
That's true. Well, at first I thought it was a piece of paper just rolled up. And then when I tried to unravel it, I realised, oh, wait a minute, this is a cigarette.
Delicious. Yeah. We would have really done with that last night.
You could have.
Because I don't like those ones in the packs. I like these ones.
Mm.
And I asked if you had cigarettes and you said no.
Well, I didn't know I did until a few seconds before putting in something for your drink to look
deep. Wow. Okay, well, it doesn't feel like there's any connections there. With the cigarette.
No.
None. I was thinking possibly all those people just being in the hotel room might be a bit of anxiety about all the people we invited to the opening.
I see what you mean.
Like, maybe it's me thinking about how the neighbours will feel when there's just all these random people wandering around.
Does a cigarette help to relieve that stress?
It will relieve my stress, briefly. Mm. But then it will just add more stress as I worry about getting cancer and dying.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword.
It's a loose-loose situation.
Mm.
Okay.
Alrighty.